second question, you said that existence is a wholeness, that everything is related, that things are melting into each other, that the tree cannot be without the sun, and the sun also cannot exist without the tree. In the above reference, please explain how ignorance and enlightenment are related to each other. They are related. Enlightenment and ignorance are the two polar opposites. Enlightenment can exist only because there is ignorance. If ignorance disappears from the world, enlightenment will also disappear simultaneously. But because of our dualistic thinking, we always think that opposites are opposites. They are complementary, they are not really opposites. They are complementary because one cannot exist without the other, so they are not enemies. Birth and death are not enemies, because death cannot exist if there is no birth. So birth creates the base for death to exist. And birth can also cannot exist if there is no death. Death creates the base. So whenever someone is dying, someone is being born. At one point death, immediately at the next point it becomes birth. They look opposite. They work in opposition as far as the surface is concerned. But deep down they are friends, helping each other. This is easy to understand about birth and death, but it will be very difficult to understand about ignorance and enlightenment, because we think when a man becomes enlightened, ignorance has disappeared completely. This is the ordinary standpoint about enlightenment, that ignorance has disappeared completely. No, that's not right. Rather, on the contrary, when a person becomes enlightened, enlightenment and ignorance both have disappeared. Because if one is there, the other is bound to be there. The one cannot exist without the other. They exist together or they disappear together. They are aspects of one thing, two faces of one coin. You cannot make one face of the coin disappear and retain the other. When a person becomes a Buddha, really at that moment both have disappeared. Ignorance, enlightenment, both. And consciousness is left, and the opposites have disappeared. Pure being is left. The conflicting, opposing, helping opposites have disappeared. That's why so many times Buddha is asked, what happens to an enlightened man? He remains silent. He says, don't ask this. because whatsoever I say will be untrue. Whatsoever I say will be untrue. If I say that he has become silent, that means the opposite of silence must exist there. Otherwise, how you can feel silence? If I say he has become blissful, then anguish must exist side by side. How you can feel bliss without anguish? Buddha says, whatsoever I say will be untrue. So he remains consistently silent about the state of enlightened person, because our all terms are dual. Whenever we say light, and if someone insists, define it, how you are going to define it? You will have to bring darkness in, only then you can define it. You will say light is that where darkness is not, or something like that. One of the greatest thinkers of the world, Voltaire, used to say that we can communicate only if you define your terms first. But that is impossible. You have to define light, you will have to bring darkness in. And then if it is asked what is darkness, you will have to define it by light, which is undefined. All definitions are circular. They used to say, what is mind? So the definition was not matter. And what is matter? And the definition was not mind. Both terms are undefined. And you are playing a trick with yourself. You define one term by another term which itself needs definition. Whole language is circular, and the opposite is necessary. So Buddha says, I will not say even that the enlightened person exists, because existence is possible only if non-existence is there present. So he will not say even this, that after enlightenment you exist, because existence has to be defined by non-existence. Nothing can be said then, because whole language consists of the polar opposites. That's why in the Upanishads it is said that if someone says, I am enlightened, know well he is not. Because how he can feel that he is enlightened? Some ignorance must have remained, because a contrast is needed. You write on a blackboard with white chalk. Blacker the board, whiter will be the writing. You cannot write on a white board with white chalk. If you write, there will be no writing. The contrast is needed. If you feel that you are enlightened, that shows the blackboard is just there. Only then you can feel it. If really the blackboard has disappeared, the writing should have also disappeared. It happens simultaneously. So a Buddha is neither ignorant nor wise. He simply is. You cannot put him on any pole of the duality. Both the poles have disappeared. And when they disappear, how it happens? When both the poles meet, they negate each other and disappear. In another way, you can say Buddha is the most ignorant person and the most enlightened both. The polarity has come to its extreme point, and there has been a meeting, and the meeting has cancelled both. The minus and plus have come together. Now there is neither minus nor plus, because they cancel each other. The minus has cancelled the plus, and the plus has cancelled the minus. The both have disappeared, and a pure being is left. Innocent being is left. You cannot say it is wise, you cannot say it is ignorant. Or you can say it is both. Enlightenment means the point from where you take jump into the non-dual. Before that point is duality. Everything is divided. Someone asks Buddha, "Who are you?" And he laughs, he says, "It is difficult to say." But the man insists, he said, "Something must be said because you are. Something can be said because you are. Something meaningful can be asserted because you are." But Buddha says nothing can be said. I am. But even to say this leads me into untruth. Then the man takes another route. Then he starts asking, "Are you a man or a woman?" Buddha says, "It is difficult to say. Once I was a man, but then my whole being was attracted towards women. When I was a man, my mind was filled with women. And when women disappeared from my mind, my man also disappeared with them. Now I cannot say I don't know who I am. And it's difficult to define." When duality is no more, nothing can be defined. So if you are aware that you have become wise, it means foolishness persists. If you think you have become blissful, it means you are still in the world, in the realm of anguish. If you say you feel a very deep well-being, a health, that means disease is still possible. The opposite will follow you. If you carry one, the other will follow. You have to drop both. And the dropping happens when the both meet. So the basic science of all religion is how to allow your inner opposites to meet so they disappear. And not a trace is left. You will disappear with the disappearance of the opposites. You will be no more there. You as you are. Something totally new and unknown. Something unimaginable will have come into being. that something is called Brahma. You can call it God. Buddha prefers the term Nirvana. The word Nirvana simply means cessation of all that was. Cessation of the past totally. And you cannot use your past experience and knowledge to define this new. This new is indefinable. Ignorance and enlightenment are also part of duality. For us, Buddha looks enlightened because we are in ignorance. For Buddha himself, he is none. It is impossible for him to think in duality, in terms of duality.